The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, parents, and good morning, children, for everyone listening on the radio. So this message is given here, and then it'll also be posted later on our Facebook page, so you can get the video version. But for the radio version, I want to tell a completely different story, and I want to tell you the story of me in 2011. And I don't remember the day. It had to have been on a Saturday, and it was in the month of February. And the NBA was having their All-Star Weekend, and on Saturday is usually the dunk contest. And so in 2011, young 21-year-old Nicholas is sitting at home in the living room watching the dunk contest happen. And there's a player by the name of Blake Griffin. And before he dunks, he signals somebody out in the arena, and he motions for them to come on over. And that person drives up onto the basketball court in a car. And the car is placed right in Blake's way. And so the trick that Blake Griffin was going to do was he was going to run and jump over the car, and he was going to dunk. That's what everybody assumed. That's what had to have happened. Why else do you motion for somebody to bring a car onto the basketball court? And so Blake's turn was up. The car was placed. He was way back at half court. He grabbed the ball, dribbled it, started taking off. He ran, crossed the three-point line, was right in the area where you shoot your free throws, and he jumped. And I thought, you know, he's not going to make it. His legs are going to be cut from underneath him, and we're going to see this man, like, fall face first on live TV. It's not going to be a really good sight. However, Blake cleared the car and dunked it, and everybody in the arena went crazy. I don't know what everybody else at home did, but I popped. So when I say I popped, I jumped off of my chair. I hope I didn't have a soda, because that probably would have been spilled everywhere, and my mom would have gotten mad. I didn't believe what I just saw. Even though I just saw it, for me, it was like, I cannot believe it. I remember the announcer saying, "My God, this young man is great. He's phenomenal. He's amazing." I had to rewind it just so I could watch it again, and then I rewound it just so I could watch it again. And then the next day, when I got on the internet, it was all over the place. It was on ESPN, it was on Facebook, it was on YouTube. You just have to watch this dunk. And the number one thing people said was, I don't believe it. It's crazy, because we all saw it. How could we not believe it? We just saw it. In the gospel passage that Pastor Tim just read right now, the disciples are in the upper room. They are locked. The doors are shut. The windows are locked. They're afraid. Jesus appears out of nowhere and says, peace be with you. The disciples are looking at a resurrected Jesus. And they believe him. However, one person wasn't with them, and that was Thomas. I don't know where Thomas was. Nobody knows where he was. He just wasn't there. He probably was, as I like to think, he was either looking out for escape routes. How do we escape the city? I'm going to go and investigate. Or maybe he was getting food for the disciples. Or maybe he was planning something so the disciples could travel at night. It's a very dangerous time for them. Their God had just died. Their Lord had just died. But for the people who didn't believe in Jesus, that he was the Messiah, their leader, the rebel rioter, Jesus, had died. So now we're going to look for his disciples to make sure they don't cause any more trouble in our city of Jerusalem. So they're really scared. And a week later passes, and just like Pastor Tim said, again, the disciples are in the upper room. The doors are locked. The windows are shut. Nobody can get in. Nobody can get out. They are protected. They're safe. Thomas is with them this time. And Jesus appears again and says, peace be with you. Now, the disciples had told Jesus, or had told Thomas, that, hey, Jesus showed up. And Thomas said, I don't believe you. I didn't see him with my own eyes. I'm not going to believe you. And then he also tells the disciples, it doesn't matter if even if I do see Jesus with my own eyes, I need to do two things to Jesus to believe that that's him. Number one, I need to put my finger in the hole that's going to be in his hand. He was nailed to the cross. He should have a hole in his hand. I'm going to put my finger in through it. Number two, Jesus hanging on the cross. He was stabbed right here in his ribs. And Thomas says, I'm going to put my hand inside that wound. If I can't do two of those things, then whoever appeared to you, it was a hallucination. It didn't really happen. So when Jesus comes back the second time to the upper room to the disciples, he says, peace to you. And the first thing he says to Thomas is, give me your hand, put it right here. And Thomas does. He says, give me your hand and put it right here in my rib. And Thomas does. And then Thomas finally believes. So he had set a standard. The standard was met. Thomas can now believe. And Jesus looks at him and says, you believe because you see me. And then Jesus says something really amazing. Everything that he says is amazing. But this one, I really want you to pay attention. Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing here, Jesus would say, those, there are people in this world who haven't seen me, and they are going to believe me. And blessed are those people. So I tell you that story because it is 2020. We are in April of 2020. The resurrection of Jesus probably happened around 2020-ish years ago, give or take a few years. I don't know when. And yet, none of us here in the sanctuary, none of you kids listening on the radio, and none of your parents saw Jesus resurrected. And yet, generations passed, and the story of Jesus was told over and over and over and over again. It was told so much that your parents decided to baptize you in the name of Jesus. It's told right now continuously, so much that we hope to grow your faith and that you believe in Jesus Christ. And the good news is, Jesus already beat you to the finish line. He says, blessed are you. Blessed are all you children who believe in me and who haven't seen me. Blessed are your parents who believed in me, they haven't seen me. Blessed are your grandparents who believed in me, they haven't seen me. So everyone who believes in Jesus, even though we haven't seen him, he tells us, you are blessed. And so this week, as you go about your school or your work or wherever you're going, I want you to remember one thing, and that Jesus says, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This story with Jesus and his disciples takes place on that first Easter day. It's in the evening. Mary Magdalene had been out to the grave, and she had actually talked to Jesus. She had first seen the empty tomb, and she ran and had told John and Peter about it, and they also witnessed the empty tomb, but John and Peter did not talk to Jesus. The disciples, as we look at this story, are in the upper room. It possibly very well be the same room that they had the Lord's Supper in, and they had the doors locked, and it says because they were in fear. They were in fear that maybe the Jewish authorities or maybe even the Romans would come after them because they were the chief followers of Jesus, or possibly because, again, Peter and John had been to the tomb and had seen the empty tomb. Maybe they were worried that they would be arrested for being body snatchers. Anyway, they were locked up in fear in that upper room. I think we can kind of relate to that right now. We may feel that we are locked up in our own homes with movement restrictions and with the shelters in place, or maybe you're not able to go to work right now. Maybe your workplace has shut down. We are more confined to our homes and we're not supposed to travel anywhere. So we are shut down for the most part. We're locked up. And we don't have the freedoms that we had. And even when we meet people, we can't greet them in the same way. We can still give them a smile, but we're not supposed to shake hands. We can't give them a hug. We don't get to go see our family out of town. We feel that we are locked up, locked in place. We know that this is only temporary, but at the same time, it's very difficult to handle for many of us. And we may not have fear. That's not what's locking us up necessarily. But there still is anxiety. There is that whole idea of change that brings something new and different to our lives. And sometimes change is good, sometimes it is not. And we don't deal with change very well. And so we get stressed, we get anxious, or we may get frustrated. We want to go back to the way that things were. The disciples were in the locked room. They were shut down. They were sheltering in place. But yet, Jesus comes through those locked doors and he says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." They were overjoyed to see Jesus. Jesus was supposed to be dead. He wasn't supposed to be there. The doors were locked. Nobody else was supposed to come in. They weren't supposed to have outside contact. They had shut everybody else out. But yet Jesus comes in and he says, "Peace be with you." They saw Jesus arrested. Peter witnessed the trial. The others were probably hanging back, looking to see what was going on. Several of them were there at the cross and they saw him die. Others helped bury him. They knew he was dead. How could he rise from the dead? But Jesus was there. He said, "Peace be with you." He showed them his hands and his side, and they were overjoyed. As we're locked down, as we are sheltering in place, as we are social distancing from one another, as we feel isolated, as we feel anxious, as we feel antsy, are fearful, Christ still can break in to our lives. He can break in to wherever we are, and he says, "Peace be with you." It is a reminder that no matter where we are or whatever situation that we are in, whether that we are in isolation or sheltering in place because we want to follow the guidelines set down by the authorities, or if we are quarantined because we have come into exposure with somebody who has the coronavirus, or if we are actually sick, Christ can break into our lives. And he does, and he says, "Peace be with you." This peace calms our fears, our anxieties. This Christ breaking in, this peace of Christ, brought joy to the disciples because they had seen that he had risen from the dead. Christ can bring joy in our lives right now, at this very moment. He can come into our homes and wherever we may be, and he says, "Peace be with you." It gives us that calmness. It relieves our anxiety and our stress, knowing that no matter what happens, God still wins the final victory. That in the end, we will win because Christ has won. Now in this story, it mentions that Thomas was not there that first Easter evening. Thomas was elsewhere. As Nick mentioned a few minutes ago, maybe he was out making a grocery run. Maybe he had just heard that someone got a new shipment in of toilet paper. Anyway, Thomas was out of the building when Jesus appeared that first evening, and he was saying, "I'm not going to believe until I actually see Jesus myself, and I see his wounds, and I'm able to touch his wounds." Well, once again, that next week, that next Sunday evening, all the disciples are gathered together. This time, Peter is with him. The interesting part here is they're still locked down. Sometimes we wonder, when is this stuff going to end? When is the lockdown going to end? When is the shelter in place going to end? For the disciples, it should have ended already. Jesus had appeared to them. He said, "Peace be with them." He showed them his hands and his side. But yet, they still did not know what to do. They were still anxious. They were still lost. But once again, on this second occasion, Jesus comes back once again, and he says, "Peace be with you." Thomas is there, and Jesus tells him, "See my hands, see my side." Now, the interesting thing about Thomas is he is somewhat of a realist, but Thomas is the one who makes the strongest claim of faith. He says, "My Lord and my God." Now, on that first occasion, when Jesus met with his disciples, he said a second time, "Peace be with you." The disciples were excited with joy, and Jesus still had more to say to them. So he says, "Peace be with you." And he tells them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." In this time of anxiety, in this time of isolation, Christ breaks into our doors. He says, "Peace be with us." But this also applies then too, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." This may be a great time for opportunity to actually renew yourself with the word of Christ, to renew yourself with Scripture, to look at Scriptures, to have time with your family, to do family devotions, so that when all these restrictions are lifted, we can go out, because God sends each and every one of us out in many and various ways to proclaim that good news that Christ has risen from the dead. Now, Jesus also gives them his Holy Spirit. In a few weeks, we'll celebrate Pentecost, the day of the birth of the church. And when that Holy Spirit filled them completely, the disciples scattered. They had scattered before when Jesus was arrested, but this was a completely different scattering, because this time they scattered to the ends of the earth, not out of fear, but with full confidence in their Lord and Savior. They went out and they proclaimed that message that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And of these disciples, I think it is Thomas, the one who is known as Doubting Thomas, is the one who went furthest away, or at least furthest out of his comfort zone. He went outside of the Roman Empire, all the way to India. And there he started to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We may feel that we are still behind locked doors, but yet Christ can still break in and say, "Peace be with us." But Jesus also has a task for us to do, a ministry for us, an opportunity for us, that we too may be sent out and spread that word that Jesus Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.